No sound. I do apologise, the page number doesn't appear on the screen there. It's actually page 14 in our Pew Bible. It's from Genesis chapter 17. There's the passage that we'll be looking at today, some verses from there. Just to link with a little with the children's talk for this morning about the way in which God makes this promise to Abram. I didn't mispronounce his name. At this point of the story, his name is Abram. And during the course of the story, his name will be changed. But this is the second of the covenants that we identify in the book of Genesis. The first covenant, that was the covenant we spoke about last week, about the rainbow after the flood, and God made a covenant with the people. And this is the second covenant, and for some this is almost a more important covenant, though all of the covenants of God are of equal value, because they all share with us God's mercy and God's blessing, unwarranted and undeserved upon humanity, but the blessing that is there for us. So let's have a look at the first part of this chapter from Genesis chapter 17 this morning, and we'll break it into some little parts. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." A little bit of background. Abram, yes, is 99. His wife, Sarai, is about 20 years his junior. Up until Abram was about 75 years of age, he lived in an area of Haran in the what we would describe as the Middle East, towards, I guess you'd say, modern-day Syria. And then God challenged him to come out of his happy retirement at 75 years of age and become a wandering, nomadic style of life. And that God had great things in store for him, and that he was to become a leader of nations, that he was to have descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sands upon the seashore. And he gets to 99 years of age and he's still wondering when this promise is going to take place and how it's going to come about. And so we now encounter this passage that talks of the encounter of Abram with El Shaddai, God Almighty. And the challenge is for him to walk in the way of the Lord and to live a blameless life. Now I wonder if you and I could ever stand such a challenge in our life, if the Lord should appear to us, be it by a vision or through prayer or through earnest reflection upon Scripture, when the Lord comes to us and says, live a blameless life, whether we could live up to that. What was Abram's response? Well, let's read on a few verses. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. What an incredible promise of God, the everlasting covenant. What had Abram done to this point of time that was worthy of such a call? Well, okay, he'd been leading this life in the initial response to God's call, but that was about it. And then God singles him out. And he says, you will be a father of many nations. And I will make nations of you. We are reading here from Hebrew scripture. We are reading Old Testament Christian literature. But we could also be reading of similar circumstance if we were reading Quran. For Judaism, Islam, and Christianity all hold to Abraham as a founding father of faith. We have all gone our differing ways. That's fairly obvious in the world today. But all three of those, I'll say, great faiths hold Abraham as a founding father. And for many, that becomes a challenge. That are we unique in that basis of our faith? No. We are unique in the expression of that faith. Of course we are. Because the Christian based on Jesus Christ, the Muslim on the life and teachings of Muhammad, and of course Judaism based upon the Torah and the great prophets. I'll leave that issue to the side for a moment or two as to how and what we say to those, the other faiths that I've mentioned. But we all do have Abraham as a literal and a spiritual ancestor. Literal because of scripture base and of the way that scripture is interpreted. But we also acknowledge the grace which has come to us through Abraham as he becomes poor. Now, as I've already commented, we didn't warrant that sort of singling out to be a descendant of Abraham. It's often been said that you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives. We are descendants. We are all related in that way that we are related back through to Abraham. If you have any doubt that Jesus was of that line, read the genealogies in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, and that will help put your mind at ease. So here we are. But I also want to talk about someone else that was honoured in this blessing. And that was Sarah. Abram's wife, initially titled as Sarai, and then becoming Sarah. Now it's interesting to note that when names are used in biblical text, they're there for a reason. If you had looked at the footnote during the reading of that particular passage, you would have seen that, first of all, that God Almighty named in the at the introduction to the passage, the little footnote mentions El Shaddai, the great God Almighty, the God of the mountains, the literal meaning. Now within Celtic spirituality there is an understanding of thin places. I don't know if any of you know what that means, a thin place. It's where humanity and God are so close. It's sort of like being on a mountaintop and being so close to heaven. That sense that you have, the closeness to God. And so in many ways, that's the El Shaddai. That's the imminent relationship that is possible through the God of the mountaintop for each one of us to have that sort of relationship. But then if you had noted in the footnoting, you would see that when Abram and Abraham have the name change, you would see that Abram means exalted father, and Abraham is the father of many. Such is the explanation for the name change. The exalted father, and then the father of many. But as I was saying, Sarah also has a name change. Sarai basically means barren or childless. Sarah, and I'll purposely overpronounce it, Sarah is princess or noble lady. So her role changes as well. Is she blessed because of Abraham? Yes. But she is also blessed in her own right. A little bit about Sarai or Sarah. She's 65 when Abram and Sarai leave Haran. The incident that arises with Hagar, and check your Bibles for the earlier passages from Genesis for this, with the incident with Hagar. And then Isaac is born when she's 90 years of age. Looking around, how many are you all looking forward to that? No. And she's 127 years of age when she dies. She is blessed through Abraham, but she's also blessed in her own right. Does she, or Abraham for that matter, deserve to be singled out? No. But through God's mercy and God's grace, they are. Now this, the covenant that we talk about in this passage, I want to pick up on a couple of later verses on page 15, verses in actual fact 15 and 16. God also says to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you are no longer to call her Sarai, but name her Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Do you notice that the same wording is used there as God said to Abraham? That he will be the father of nations, she will be the mother of nations, and that kings of people will come from her. So this blessing goes to both of them. And it is an eternal blessing. It is a blessing that will be handed down through the ages. And as we commented during the course of the chat with the children, there wasn't an end point on this. It wasn't as though, as Harriet so beautifully explained to us that the promise only needed to be kept until it had been fulfilled. But this is an everlasting covenant between God and the people, between God and Abraham, and between God and you and I, each one of us. Now, you may wonder about how we can take up this promise, how we can be part of that promise. Well, the church has a liturgy and has a sacrament that we call the sacrament of baptism. And in that sacrament of baptism, we follow, interestingly enough, a naming part of the ceremony. Just like Abraham got a new name, got a God name, in baptism people are given a Christian name. Would it be that our government still called it Christian name, but now they call it first name? But the Christian name that we receive at our baptism when we are accepted, when we are recognized, when we are adopted into a Christian community. We have always been adopted and known of God for our life, but this is a ceremony that we have. And as I've said before, with baptism, we receive a gift. And just like any gift, the gift has no worth or no value until it is opened, until it is received, until the person takes it upon themselves and opens the gift and finds out the love that has been put into that gift. An aunt of mine once gave me a little birthday card, and it said, "When this gift was wrapped and tied, the kindest thoughts were put inside." I've remembered that since childhood, and I indeed have used it on numerous occasions since myself. So when we are baptized, we are given a gift. Just as Abraham was given a gift this day of God's grace and a challenge placed before him, so we are given a gift at our baptism, at our naming. And that is to walk blamelessly and walk in the way God would have us go. Do we? No. Was it necessary for God to send Jesus to bring humanity back into relationship? Yes. Do we ask the Lord Jesus to walk with us on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis? If we don't, we should. If we open that gift that we have been given at our naming, we will be able to walk closer with God. Will we be the father or mother of nations? I think not. Although, you know, at times we don't know the influence and the impact we have on another person's life. Sometimes we hear of it, sometimes we may never hear of it. Of the impact of the simple gift that we may give someone, of the random act of kindness that we may offer someone, we may never hear the result. But that should never stop us from offering that gift to others. The gift that we have been given so generously by God, we should share with others. So, whether our life be long or short, whether it is a life that is full of honour, or indeed, whether we are like many people in the world today who are persecuted because of their Christian faith, just simply because they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they make him the basis of their life, for that they face persecution and death. So whatever our life may be, God has assured us through this covenant that God will be there. God will be present. God will be faithful to the promise that God makes to us. If we don't see God in our situation, we need to open our hearts and we need to speak to God and ask for his guidance and help and release from the circumstance. He's as near as our next breath and as close as our next heartbeat. So how can we live this life that God challenged Abraham to live? Well, one of the best things is to find out more about God. How can we find out more about God? Well, we can find out the message that he's left for us, the handbook, if you like. Ever get a new car? One of the first things we should do is open the glove box, take out the handbook, find out how to work it. Well, here it is. The Bible, God's Word, gives us guidance. Is the handbook of life. Another one is, how do we make friends? We start up a conversation with someone. How do we start a conversation with someone in daily life? We probably talk about how hot it is today, or how wet it was during the week, or some experience. We should do that with God too. We should tell God how we're feeling, how we need guidance in our life. If we speak to God, God will speak back to us. If we open that gift, God will bless us through that gift. So that's the challenge for us. Abraham and Sarah became obedient to the covenant that God would be their God if they walked in his ways. He would bless them. Even when they didn't walk in his ways, he still blessed them, because that's God's grace. And that's you and I as well. We walk in God's ways, and when we don't, when we forget, when we do something, God is still there. God will pick us up, dust us off, and send us home. So that covenant of mercy still exists. That blessing still exists and will continue long after we have seen our 99 years or our 127 or however long our life may be. God's blessing is eternal. And I personally thank God for that.